Let's get it on right now.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast.
More loads of bull.
So much has happened since I last talked to you. Like, did you see the Super Bowl?
What is that?
I think everyone watches the Super Bowl, whether you like football or not. And a lot of people go to parties and watch it with their friends, but since I wasn't invited to a party and I have no friends, I just watched it alone at home.
That is pathetic.
You see, not even my wife and kids like football, so I was pretty much on my own. However, right before the game started, Lindsay decided that in order to give her some kind of interest in it whatsoever, she would make a wager with me on the outcome of the game. And so she told me if Denver wins, I have to give her a massage. And that may not sound like much to you, but if I were to offer her, say, eternal salvation or a foot rub, she would always take the foot rub. But of course, I had no worries because, after all, I had the Carolina Panthers. And they had the MVP in Cam Newton, and they'd only lost once all year. And I figured it would be a blowout, so I was pretty confident. And I'm not going to tell you what I was going to get if the Panthers were to win, because trust me, it was rather twisted and weird. But it didn't matter, because halfway through the fourth quarter, it was obvious I was going to be giving Lindsay a massage.
Wow, what a shame.
As you know by now, Denver's defense dominated Carolina, and I gotta admit, I was a little bit shocked. However, I was not surprised when Cam Newton acted like a little spoiled brat in the press conference after the game. He basically just got up and walked out after mumbling a couple of answers. And that was just so typical of the modern-day douchebag athlete. Here's a guy for the entire season who was saying, "Hey, look at me." It didn't matter whether he scored a touchdown or did a commercial or made a first down. He wanted all the attention and all the cameras focused right on him. And for the most part, he backed it up the whole season, except for the Super Bowl. And the minute he failed, he was like, "I don't want these cameras on me. I don't want to answer your questions. I'm out of here." And so once again, we find out that these millionaire prima donnas are just kind of immature when it comes right down to it. But hopefully he'll grow up, but nevertheless, I was disappointed. However, even more lame than Cam Newton's attitude, did you see that Super Bowl halftime show?
Hell no!
Now, I'm not going to sit here and trash Coldplay, because believe it or not, I actually think they're a good band.
You're an idiot!
In my opinion, they've written some pretty good tunes over the past, but it seemed like the whole thing was on tape and very choreographed. But I kind of expect that from these halftime shows. And so that didn't bother me a ton. And it also didn't really bother me when Bruno Mars came out there. There's something I actually kind of like about him. But I swear to God, when Beyonce came out there, I just wanted to throw my entire body through the TV screen. I mean, like, head first. Because honestly, throwing my remote or punching the screen with my fist was just not enough. I mean, it's gotten bad, people. When I've gotten to the point where I want to do bodily harm to myself, that's a problem. And every time I even see Beyonce, I just want to gouge my eyes out.
That's normal.
And once again, there she is strutting around, trying to be all sexy. And I turn to Lindsay and say, "You know, I think this chick could play linebacker for Carolina."
Oh, hey, that is uncalled for.
But it was just the same old thing, lip-syncing, thousands of dancers, and it was kind of like the Grammys, but I'll get to that later.
Yeah, I can't wait.
But overall, the Super Bowl this year was just kind of so-so.
I don't like this game.
I didn't think the commercials were very good. The officiating was horrible. but I was kind of happy for Peyton Manning. I still hate the Broncos, but I've always liked Peyton Manning, so good for him.
I don't care about any of it.
But enough about sports. I've got a lot of other stuff to talk about on today's show, so let's get it going.
It's only going to get worse.
Okay, time now to do something that I've been meaning to do for quite a while now. And the other day, I saw that the NFL had inducted some new players into their Hall of Fame. And I thought, you know, I need to induct some new listeners into the Rockcast Hall of Fame.
Oh my gosh.
If you go to my website, montycalvin.net, and go to the podcast page, you'll see a list of names. And those are the people who I have chosen as the all-time great listeners of this show. And how does one become a Rockcast Hall of Famer, you may ask? Well, let me tell you. These people, in one way or another, have made contributions either by top tens or emails or comments. And they've helped promote the show by telling their friends. And most of all, by being a faithful listener. In other words, they're not one of these people that write me and say, yeah, I'm kind of catching up. I haven't listened in a few months. Yeah, if you're one of those people, I still appreciate you and you're awesome, but you're not going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Who even wants to listen to this guy?
I also frown upon the use of steroids. If you've been trying to get all bulked up just to impress me, it's not going to work. And, of course, it goes without saying that gambling on the Rockcast is strictly prohibited. For instance, if you've been making wagers on, say, who's going to win the top 10 playoffs, that is grounds for a lifetime ban.
You go to jail for that now.
So those are the rules and qualifications, but now it's time to begin the ceremony. And the first new member of the Rockcast Listener Hall of Fame to be inducted this year is Greg Skipton from Texas. I love this guy. He always sends me kind emails. He made it to the finals of the top 10 playoffs one year with his list of best douche rock bands of all time.
Hell yeah!
When I post a new episode, he's been known to share the link with others.
That's amazing!
And Greg is also a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs and just an all-around good dude. So congratulations, Greg Skipton.
Clearly the guy's nuts.
The second person to have this incredible honor bestowed upon them is Jimmy G in Chicago.
Woo!
Jimmy is a past winner of the top 10 playoffs, and he's also known for his awesome questions and occasional concert review. Though it is unclear how many episodes Jimmy has actually listened to, when it comes right down to it, Jimmy's contributions speak for themselves.
I'll admit I've never heard of the guy.
So congratulations, Jimmy G. You are a member of the Hall of Fame. The next recipient of this incredible honor is Jeff Moore. Last I heard, Jeff lives in Mississippi, and I have known him for years. He has contributed to my financial well-being by commissioning me to paint his children and by purchasing a Rockcast t-shirt.
Very impressive.
I'm also pretty sure that Jeff has listened to almost every episode.
I'm not impressed in the least.
So congratulations, Jeff Moore. I'm sure you thought this day would never come, but it is here. You are now a member of the Rockcast Listener Hall of Fame.
He is unbelievably lucky.
The next person to be presented with this coveted honor is Gary in Baltimore. Yeah! Gary has a last name, and it is Rob. But not Rob like R-O-B, Rob. More like R-A-U-B, Rob.
This is as interesting as it gets.
Gary is an extremely nice guy, and he has even come to Kansas City and visited me personally in my home.
Wow, that is so incredibly creepy.
Yes. Gary also made significant contributions, including taking me out to lunch for Mexican food.
Yo quiero taco, Ben.
Entering songs into the Rock Cast Battle of the Bands.
Songs to torture you by.
And, of course, countless top tens.
Well, that was an utter waste of time.
And so, for his loyalty to the show and commitment to excellence, we salute you, Gary in Baltimore. Welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Gary is a very weird guy.
Now, to give you an example of why Gary is a Hall of Famer, I'm going to read you a top 10 list that he sent me just a few days ago. And this is Gary's top 10 bloodiest songs. And it starts at number 10 with Megadeth, Blood of Heroes. Number 9 is Iron Maiden, Blood Brothers. Number 8 is Bleeding Me by Metallica. Number 7 is Still My Bleeding Heart by Steve Vai. Number 6 is All That I Bleed by Sabotage. Number 5 is Blood of My Enemies by Manowar. Number 4 is Baptized in Blood by Hellstar. Number 3 is Blood of the Kings by, once again, Manowar. Number 2 is that classic Raining Blood by Slayer. And number 1 on Gary's list of bloodiest songs, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath by Black Sabbath.
Hardcore devil worship.
Well, nice job, Gary. Thanks for the list. But now we must move on with our inductions into the Rock Cast Hall of Fame. And the next person to be enshrined is Jeffrey Elliott from Texas. You know, Jeffrey is just one of those good guys who has always been very supportive. Not just of the Rock Cast, but of Galactic Cowboys. And he came to the reunion show in Houston a year or two ago. And these days he can be seen wearing a Rock Cast t-shirt on stage when he's playing bass with his band. And the only thing else I can really say is, give it up one time for Jeffrey Elliott. The next person to be inducted into the Rock Cast Listener Hall of Fame is Jeff Koons in Minnesota. Jeff is a former college basketball player, and you may ask me, why would that matter? Well, it does. When I was in high school, I wanted to play college ball, and it never happened. And so I have a lot of respect for anybody who actually did. But besides that, Jeff is a longtime listener and he's been sending me top 10s for years. And this year was no exception as he sent me his top 10 songs of 2015. And his list begins at number 10 with Still Hurts by Therapy. That is followed at number 9 with Interstellar Avalanche by Broadway. And at number 8 is Perfect Drone by Owl Stretching. And yeah, that is that side project by Jason Beeler, I believe that's the way you pronounce it, from Saigon Kick. And the stuff I heard wasn't that hard, but it was real melodic, and the vocals were really cool. So if you were into Saigon Kick back in the 80s and 90s, you might want to check out Owl Stretching.
Well, no thanks.
But moving on with Jeff's list, at number 7, it's Under Attack by Skindred. Number 6 is Old Scars, Future Hearts by All Time Low. Number 5 is Hell Is Full by Diamonds. Never heard of them. But I have heard of The Darkness, and they are at number 4 with Last of Our Kind. Number 3 is Touch the Sky by Hardcore Superstar. Number 2 is No Apologies by Strung Out. And at number 1 on Jeff's list, it's Caught Up in the Rush by Eclipse.
That is awesome!
All right, cool list, Jeff Koons, and congratulations on being a Rockcast Hall of Famer.
But it's not that big of a deal.
And that would bring us to our final inductee. Reigning from the great state of Missouri, it's Chad Jones.
Huh?
That's right, and here's the deal. I'm not even sure I knew who Chad was a few weeks ago, but he sent me a really nice email and a top 10 list, and he told me that he has listened to every single show since episode 1. We're talking 169 episodes.
Good God.
That, combined with the fact that he is a fellow Missourian, I had no choice but to make Chad a Rockcast Listener Hall of Famer.
That's not fair.
And one of the perks of being a Rockcast Hall of Famer is that you automatically get all of your top 10 lists read on my show. And since Chad sent me a list of his top 10 albums of 2015, I'm going to read it right now, starting with number 10. And it's Ghost with Meliora.
Hardcore Evil.
That is followed at number 9 with You Were Never Alone by Emery. Number 8 is Get Lost, Find Yourself by Chunk, No Captain Chunk.
Now this is interesting stuff.
Number 7 is The Foo Fighters with Saint Cecilia. Number 6 is Iron Maiden with Book of Souls. Number 5 was one of my favorites of the year. It was the self-titled We Came as Romans CD.
It's just wonderful stuff.
Number 4 was another one of my favorite bands. It's 4 Years Strong with 4 Years Strong.
That's extraordinary stuff.
Number 3 is Blue Stolly, I believe, with The Devil.
Frightening stuff.
Number 2 is Clutch with their CD Psychic Warfare. And number 1 on Chad's list is End of an Empire by Cell Dweller.
This is remarkable stuff.
Well, thanks so much, Chad, for that list. Congratulations. And congratulations to all the brand new inductees into the Rockcast Listener Hall of Fame. You guys are all deserving and you all rule. And from now on, your names will be on my website for all to see and be envious of.
Wow.
Okay, time for a little family fun time. Because it's time to see what's on Uncle Monty's iPod.
Uncle Monty's Mystery Corner!
That's right, it's Uncle Monty's Listening Corner. And today we're going to see what I've been listening to on my iPod. And I've got one of those iPod classics that hold about 160 gig, and it is completely full. In fact, anytime I want to put something on there, I've got to erase something. But I got to tell you, I don't know that I'm going to be erasing any of the stuff I'm going to play for you today. Some of this stuff is pretty good, and let's get it started with an all-female band called Conquer Divide.
The foundation crumbled to the dust. Think I have been brushed enough? I guess you thought you were flawless. Hypocrite, suck it seems to put your money where your mouth does. Look at me now. Can you stand to see what I become?
Once again, they're called Conquer Divide. I'm not even sure where they're from, but there's six of these girls and they're all hot. And they play the metalcore kind of stuff, which means some of you are gonna like it and most of you are gonna hate it. And I don't know why everyone has to be so snarky these days about music, but I was on Blabbermouth the other day reading up on these chicks and people were just destroying them. But when I listen to this album, I hear a lot of great melodies and a lot of cool songs, and I like it. All right, here's another female singer, and her name's Lacey Sturm. And if this sounds familiar, it's because she used to be the lead singer for Flyleaf. And she left them back in 2012, and now she's got a new CD out, and it's called Life Screams. Well, we've seen it many times before. A singer will leave a band, and then the band isn't as good without the singer, and the singer isn't as good without the band. And Flyleaf definitely isn't as good with the new singer they have now. And this new album by Lacey Sturm probably isn't as good as Flyleaf was with her, but it's not bad. I've always loved the passion that she has in her voice, and the heavy ballads on this CD are really good. So I was on Facebook the other day, and a guy named Don Smith had posted a live video of Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush. And they were doing Johnny B. Good, and the guy was just smoking hot on guitar. And that's when I remembered, hey, I've got a live CD of Frank Marino. And it's from 1992, and he was doing one of my favorite songs by him called Strange Dreams. You know, I had a strange dream myself the other night, and I found that most of my dreams are all the same. I'm always very frustrated with whatever I'm doing in them. And in this one I had the other night, for some reason I was on a golf course. And that in itself is strange because I'm not a golfer. And I'm out there with a set of golf clubs, but instead of playing with golf balls, I'm using tortilla chips.
What?
Yeah, you know, like Doritos or maybe those scoops.
What about tacos?
But I'm out there trying to knock them into the holes, and as you can guess, it's not going well. And I'm thinking, how in the world am I ever going to be able to tee off with these things? Every time I swing the club and hit one, they break. But that's when I woke up and realized, oh God, it was just a strange dream. And you know something? I'm hungry. And finally on my iPod, I have the new CD by Prong. It's called X, No Absolutes. And like all new CDs that you get, you're hoping it'll be really good. And man, is this one good. This thing rocks. Every time I hear the name Prong, I immediately think of this guy that I met when I first moved to Kansas City back in the late 90s. His name was Bobby, and he was a drummer. And every time I'd see him, I'd say, hey, what have you been up to? And he'd go, I'm starting a band, and we're going to sound like Prong. And yes, I know you're thinking, Bobby sounds like Jimmy Jeff. Well, I did say he was from Kansas City.
Yep.
But anyway, every time I ever saw Bobby, it was Prong. I love Prong. And so I finally said, you know, cool, I like Prong too. And I'm starting this band called Crunchy. Would you like to be the drummer? And I'd already tried out about 10 or 11 other drummers, but Bobby was the best I could find. And so he was the guy, and we started practicing. And I ended up booking a gig for us, and we had one more rehearsal before our first gig as Crunchy. And I showed up for that practice, and Bobby never showed. His drums were there, but he was not. And I called Bobby, and he never answered, and I never saw him again for a long, long time. And I finally got an email from him about a year later, and he was just like, yeah, sorry, I had to leave town. But to this day, I'm sure Bobby still loves Prong, and I know he's gonna love this album.
We'll be right back.
I'm going to turn the show over to you guys now and read some of your emails, comments, and questions. And let's start it out with an email from Mr. David Brault, who said, "Hey, Monty, someone on Facebook just turned me on to your podcast. I literally just finished listening to episode 168. Oh my God, I know now where I'll be spending the next 167 hours. Good job."
Truly insane.
Well, several things. First of all, thank you so much, David, for listening. It's good to have you on board with the podcast. Second of all, thanks to whoever told you about the show. I really appreciate it when people spread the word. But third, I'm really sorry that all the episodes are no longer available. You can go to montysrockcast.com and get as far back as episode 92. But that's as far back as they go. But trust me, the early episodes weren't that good.
They're all terrible.
It took me a while to figure out what I was doing, but I think everyone would agree it's gotten a lot better over the last few years.
They're worse than ever.
Next message was from Joseph Glenn, who said, "Hey, Monty, I have to set aside special uninterrupted time for the Rockcast, so sometimes I'm a little late, but episode 169 was phenomenal. Love, love, love Monty's Rockcast, I'm just saying."
These people are friggin' nuts!
Well, I really appreciate it, Joseph, and I understand what you're saying. This particular podcast isn't something you can just kind of have on in the background and get it, because there's a lot going on. And to be honest, it probably takes a special kind of person to get this show.
Weirdos.
And maybe that's why I don't have millions of listeners. It takes a little bit to absorb, kind of like my music. These days, everybody wants something that's simple and that doesn't require much thought. And I like to create stuff that makes you think. And so thanks to everyone like Joseph who take the time to listen and get it.
It makes my head hurt.
Now, a lot of you did not agree with me on my support of Donald Trump. In fact, I got a comment from one guy who suggested that I have gone to the dark side. But once again, here's the deal. I don't think that he may be a perfect candidate for president of the United States, but I just don't want to see Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton win. But can someone like Ted Cruz defeat them? Well, I have my doubts, and here's an example why. Recently on Saturday Night Live, they opened the show with a parody of Ted Cruz, and here's a little audio from that skit.
"I'm not like other politicians. I didn't get where I am today because I was born wealthy, or handsome, or charismatic, or nice. I am not cool, or likable, or even fine. I'm not young and hip. I am not off the chain. I'm not energetic and healthy. Physically, I'm not doing well at all. Isn't it time for a president who's just a nasty little weasel?"
Now, the first thing you notice is that it wasn't real funny. In fact, I didn't laugh one time, but then again, that's just Saturday Night Live. And the second thing you notice is that it's pretty much just a hatchet job on Ted Cruz. But once again, you expect that from Saturday Night Live because, for the most part, it's a liberal show. They may make fun of Hillary and Bernie, but they're not going to all out assault them. However, when it comes to Ted Cruz's image, this skit did kind of have a point. He doesn't have a lot of charisma, and he kind of comes off as a geek. And when you consider how many people are going to base their vote on such things, it makes you kind of worry. Do you think any of these dumbass college students that are going to be voting in the next election are going to know anything about Ted Cruz's policies? I doubt it, and I just don't want to see us in another situation like we had with McCain or Romney. But like I said, if Ted Cruz is the candidate, I will vote for him. I want the best for this country. So I'm sorry if you hate me now for liking Donald Trump, but I understand he's not the most presidential kind of person in the world. But he doesn't take crap from anybody, and I think that's a good thing. And I know he may not be your typical politician, but I kind of like that. And just remember that Ronald Reagan was an actor before he became a politician, and he ended up being one of the best presidents we've ever had.
I think that's an interesting commentary.
All right, moving on.
But his comments today were stupid.
Now, I did have a couple of people agree with me on the subject of political correctness and how I'm getting sick of it. One of those people being Eric in Orange County. Eric also wanted to know what I thought of the whole Phil Anselmo from Pantera fiasco that happened a few weeks ago. Yeah, if you didn't hear about this, they had this big dime bash for Dimebag Darrell, and Phil from Pantera showed up and did a song with all these musicians. And after the last song of the night, he walks up to the front of the stage and does this kind of Nazi salute and screams, "White Power." And everybody on Twitter and social media just lost their minds. And you had some people that thought it was like the worst thing ever, and then others that didn't think it was a big deal. And Eric wanted to know what I thought, and since I had met Phil once upon a time, he wondered if there was any truth to it.
So what's the answer?
Yeah, back in the early 90s, before Pantera became huge, I used to go to see him all the time, usually with Doug Penick. And they were playing clubs at the time, and we'd go backstage afterwards and hang out with them, and then we'd go to Doug's house sometimes and hang out. And Phil was just always as nice as can be, and so if he had a problem with black people, he sure didn't show it. But the main problem that I have with all of it is just the double standard that goes on with the PC police. I mean, I thought we were living in the age where you could be anything you want. We can't criticize you no matter what you are. If you identify with that, it's okay. And so going by that logic, why isn't it all right for Phil to be a white supremacist if he wants to be?
Say what?
I mean, after all, it's February. It's Black History Month. Black people are proud of being black. Why can't Phil be proud of being white? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
So what are you saying?
It's all just stupid. But I'll tell you what, you better watch what you say or you will be crucified.
That's right.
And I'll give you a hypothetical example of how ridiculous it's gotten. Let's just say that I tell you that I bought a DVD of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'm sure any liberal would think that's fine, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but you have no idea what I'm talking about, so you go, well, what is that? And I say, well, it was this TV show where a bunch of queers talk about fashion.
What?
Yeah, you see, all of a sudden I'm a horrible person.
Anti-gay bigot.
But anyway, back to Phil Anselmo and the whole race thing. I don't know what Phil was thinking, but he probably wasn't thinking. I mean, I saw Pantera on one of their last tours, and it was in an arena. And Phil would go into these 10 to 15 minute rants in between songs. And he'd be talking about boxing or how he hated the new Metallica album. And you just never knew what he was going to say.
The guy's a lunatic.
But I know one thing, if you're in the public spotlight, you better watch what you say. Because people are always ready to jump on it, especially if it's about race. And I don't know how it all started, where you could just play the race card all the time, but I'm thinking maybe it was back around that OJ trial. And I say that because I was kind of reminded of it the other day when I was watching this OJ Simpson movie. Is anybody else watching that on the FX network?
Yeah!
It's got people like John Travolta and David Schwimmer. And so far, I'm really enjoying it. And one reason is you sit there and watch it, and you're just going, how did this guy get away with murder? Because it's so obvious that he did it. And my favorite part so far is where they make OJ take a lie detector test. And the guy that gave OJ the test comes back in and tells the lawyers, well, he got a 24. And they're like, 24? And they're like, yeah, that's the lowest possible score you can get. And there was just this mountain of evidence. And I was talking to this person the other day who was too young to kind of remember it when it was happening. And they said, well, how did he get away with it? And I said, well, it was because of his lawyer, Johnny Cochran. He took all the focus off OJ and made it about race.
Oh, yeah!
But we did learn a valuable lesson from that whole OJ Simpson trial. And that was, if you live in America, you can overcome anything. you can be like OJ and kill a couple of people. Or if you're Kobe Bryant, you can rape somebody and still be the leading vote getter of the All-Star game. You can be a huge pothead like Snoop Dogg and still be endorsed by Burger King. If you're Michael Jackson, you can fondle children. If you're Chris Brown, you can punch a woman right in the face and still win a Grammy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we are truly a country filled with racists who are trying to keep the black man down.
I know it's the truth.
And speaking of the Grammys, once again, that celebration of the best that music has to offer was on TV the other night, and I watched it so you didn't have to. And I'll try not to bore you too much, but here are the highlights. And the whole thing was kicked off with a performance by Taylor Swift. So you know right off the bat that this is gonna be good.
Please blow my head off.
And let me just say that, what is this, like the 15th year in a row that she's been on the Grammys? I mean, remember back when she was about 12 years old and they'd give her an award and she'd act all shocked and she'd get up and thank her fans? And it seems like every year she's got a new album out and it wins an award and she always performs a song. And all I can say is enough already. We've seen this chick enough. I mean, she's cute and all that. She could probably be a model. But let's face it, her music just isn't that great. It's not like she's horrible or anything, but it's time to move on. Let's find a new hot chick and stick a mic in her hand, okay?
I'm down with that.
All right. Well, the show was hosted by LL Cool J, who used to be a rapper, but I thought that was fitting. Because for the first hour of this show, I thought I had accidentally turned on the Black Entertainment Network. You see, it was pretty much dominated by rappers, soul singers, or white guys who want to be black. You got Kendrick Lamar getting the Best Rap Award. You got John Legend doing a salute to Lionel Richie. And you had Lionel Richie even getting up there and singing. And that guy looks like he's had some work done on his face.
Could be.
And then after this guy named The Weeknd did a song, you had a couple of black football players come up and introduce Carrie Underwood and some other country dude. And I swear to God, the country guy starts rapping.
What's going on with that?
However, lest we forget what a racist world we live in, the award for Song of the Year went to that pasty white guy, Ed Sheeran.
That's just wrong.
Next, we got a performance by the Eagles. Minus Glenn Frey. And then for some reason, they took us to a Broadway show about Alexander Hamilton where all the actors were rapping. That was followed by Kendrick Lamar doing some rapping, which was followed by the award for Best Rock Performance, and that went to Alabama Shakes. And I don't know if you've ever seen this band, but they got this big old chick who is the lead singer, and she's got this big, gigantic mouth, and she contorts it all over the place. And when they came back and played later in the show, I just couldn't hardly watch. I tried to just turn my head and listen, and I still couldn't stand it.
Don't judge people by what they look like.
I'm sorry, but I hate Alabama Shakes.
Fine, fine.
Of course, it's the Grammys, so you gotta have a performance by Adele. And you're thinking, well, at least she can sing. But she got up there, and apparently she couldn't hear herself or something. Maybe there was something technical going on there, but she was awful. She was off key, and I just kind of felt bad for her. Oh, well, she's still better than Taylor Swift.
That's right.
After Adele, it was time for Justin Bieber to embarrass himself. However, instead of doing his usual thing where he lip syncs with a bunch of dancers, he actually just kind of stood there and sang with this band. I mean, it was still as lame as hell, but at least he tried. And, you know, I kind of noticed throughout the night that most of the performances didn't have all the dancers like they usually do. So that was actually nice to see. Or nice not to see. Either way, it was time for the award for Best New Artist, which was won by Meghan Trainor. And she got up there and cried all the way through her acceptance speech. And why was she crying, you may ask? Well, probably because she knows she doesn't have much more time left in her career. Or at least, let's hope not.
You gotta laugh at all this.
After that, you got Lady Gaga paying tribute to David Bowie. And as she was singing those songs, I thought, you know, David Bowie really was an innovator. I mean, he was doing some risky, artsy stuff back then. And who are the innovators now? We really don't have many. I mean, Lady Gaga, are you serious? So, kind of sad that we're losing all these legends. And speaking of legends, next was a tribute to Lemmy by Dave Grohl. And I'm guessing while Dave Grohl was talking about Lemmy and Motorhead that most of the people in the audience and at home were thinking, I've never even heard of this guy. Who was he? But I was glad to see that happen. And after that, the Hollywood Vampires got up and played. And if you don't know who that is, it's Alice Cooper, Johnny Depp, and Joe Perry. And they played Ace of Spades. Well, actually, they were only allowed to play the first verse and chorus, but it was still cool. And after all, if they would have been allowed to play the whole song, you wouldn't have had time for another rapper. Nor would you have had time for the Album of the Year award, which went to Taylor Swift. And acting like she was still 15, she acted shocked, thanked her fans, and then pointed out the fact that she is the only female to win this award 2 times. So thank you, Taylor. We would not have known that.
I frankly don't care.
Of course, no award show would be complete without a finale from Pitbull.
Woo!
That's right, Pitbull is on every award show. And once again, there were hundreds of dancers all over the stage. And oh look, there's Robin Thicke. And there's lip syncing and lights and tons of confetti falling and lasers. And did I mention that the whole stage was filled with dancers? And Pitbull is rapping. Yes, lots and lots of rapping. Alright, I'm going to finish up with a couple more emails. And the first one comes to us from Mr. David Whiteman.
The new face of evil.
And David says that he is beyond excited about the possibility of a new Galactic Cowboys album, and he has just a couple of questions. And the first one is, are you dusting off any older, previously unreleased songs, or is this all new material?
What kind of question is that?
Well, David, it's probably a little early in the game to answer that. But if I had to guess, I would say yes, I think we'll probably rework some older songs that never got released. But I'm pretty sure that there's going to be a whole lot of brand new stuff that we're just writing now.
Duh.
Next question is, are you and Ben splitting up lead vocals pretty much equally?
What is the deal with this guy?
And once again, it's a little too early to say, but I would think that Ben would be carrying the majority of the lead vocals.
All you gotta do is have an IQ above room temperature to understand this.
Okay, David asks, how much writing remains? How much recording remains?
What?
Well, I'm still writing songs, and I will continue to write stuff probably through the entire process. But as far as the recording, we've just barely gotten started at all, and so I have no idea how long it's going to take.
Do you understand that?
David also wanted to know, will you guys work on the album some separately, or will you wait until the next time you go down to Houston? And once again, it's a little bit early to say.
See, I'm getting a headache right now.
David also asked me, will this be digital only release, or are you planning to press CDs?
This is making me angry.
Well, like I've said over and over, it's a little too early to say. But if I had my way, I would probably do both.
I mean, it's obvious. Come on.
And finally, David wanted to know, do you have a very rough idea when you think the album or collection of songs might be ready?
You cannot be serious!
Okay. Well, first of all, like I've said over and over, Whiteman, it's too early to say.
Do you understand that? Get it through your head!
I mean, we've just barely gotten started, and already you're wanting a release date? What do you want me to tell you, that we're going to have it done in a week? I mean, geez, talk about pushy.
Calm down here.
Just relax.
All right. I'm fine. Anyway, thanks for your questions, David. Let's just move on to the next email, which comes from Paul in Florida. And Paul says, hey, Monty, I keep forgetting to ask you, why is David Whiteman the new face of evil? Okay, well, good question, Paul. Let's see, why is Mr. David Whiteman the new face of evil? Well, isn't it obvious?
Hey, have you just lost it?
Don't get me started again.
Time for a vacation.
All right, okay. Well, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback for me, remember, you can always get a hold of me on Facebook or at my website, MontyColvin.net, where you can also find my paintings, CDs, and T-shirts.
The worst website in the history of websites.
Special shout-outs go out to Michael Day in Indy and Richard in France for buying my crunchy CDs. Thanks so much, guys. And to Scott Valadez and Frank Nowicki, who both recently ordered Rockcast T-shirts. And don't forget, if you do buy a Rockcast T-shirt, email me back a picture of yourself wearing it, and I will put it on my website.
That is clearly a threat.
I'm going to play you one last song off that new CD by Prong. It's one of those cases where a band just completely nails it. The production is great, the guitars are just crushing, and then they come at you with this melody that's just so catchy. I'm actually a little bit jealous. But I hope you enjoy it, and it kicks your head in real, real good.
You're going to get a boot stomping on your face forever.
But that's going to do it for me for now. I will return soon with more fun and excitement right here on the Rockcast. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
Until the light takes us.
The end.